Welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldman, a 30-minute walk through the Scriptures, teaching in-depth Bible truths that change people's lives. Now, here's your host, Les Feldman.
Okay, once again, it's good to have everybody back. Program number 3 for this afternoon, and we're going to go right back and pick up what I didn't finish in the last program. And so for those of you on television, if you're just tuning in, we've been talking about Israel being scattered into all the nations of the world, and we started with Deuteronomy, and now we're back up into Ezekiel, and that's what we're going to pick up. We're right where we left off in Ezekiel 37, how that the nation of Israel out there scattered into every nation under heaven, the time would come when they would start coming back to their homeland. Now, of course, it didn't happen overnight. It really started in the late 1800s, 1890, 95, and in that neck of the woods where Jewish leaders started talking about a homeland. And then Great Britain, of course, who had the empire that circled the globe, were the major players. And so a politician in England by the name of the Balfour, and they made the Balfour Agreement, and that was that the Jews could have a homeland there in the Middle East. Now, of course, first they had it drawn clear across the Jordan Valley and on into what is present-day Iraq, Jordan, but the Arab world put up such a howl then already, so Great Britain backed off and instead designated it from the Jordan River to the Mediterranean. So anyway, the Jews then were being forced by persecution and every other which way. That was long before Hitler came on the scene. So a lot of the Jews started making their way back from North Africa, Morocco, and in that area. And then the rest of the Arab world started persecuting them unmercifully. So they finally left Syria. I don't think there's a Jew left in Syria, certainly not in Iran. And as a result of all that, they gradually made their way back to the homeland, and in 1948, they declared themselves a sovereign state. Okay, so all that has come in fulfillment of this. Come back with me now then, just for opening, so that we can be where we start every program now in Hosea. Back to chapter 3, verse 4 again, where we're talking about the dispersion, how that for a long time they'll be out there in all the nations of the world. Verse 4, the children of Israel abide many days without a king, without a prince, without a sacrifice, without an image, without an ephod, without a teraphim. In other words, they had nothing of their religion, as much as I hate to use the word. All right, but then the key word in verse 5 is afterward. All right, but we're not going to look at the afterward yet until we go back and finish some of those verses with regard to all those 1900 and some years that they were scattered into the nations of the world. All right, come back where we were with the dry bones in Ezekiel 37. Now verse 11. And here's where we have the interpretation of this vision. Then he, the Lord, said unto me, the prophet, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Now, that tells you right up front that 10 tribes are not lost. All 12 tribes are still involved, even at this point in time. And so the whole house of Israel, behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost, we are cut off. In other words, that was when they were out amongst the Gentile world. Verse 12, therefore, prophesy and say unto them, these scattered Jews, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves. Now, the best way I can explain that in recent history was when the Soviet Union collapsed, and one of the first results of that collapse was permission for the Jews to emigrate out and down to Israel or wherever. And it was a providential thing. And as soon as the Jews had the opportunity, I think in the first 2 years of the 90s, 90, 91, 92, something like 2 million Jews left Russia to go to the nation of Israel. In fact, Iris and I ran into a family of them down on the Dead Sea. You remember that, honey? And the parents couldn't talk English, but the kids could. so we could communicate with the family through the kids. But it was typical of Russians who had left Russia because now the bars were lowered. All right, that's exactly what I think of then when it says here, I will open your graves when the Gentile world would finally give permission for Jews to leave their nation and go wherever they wanted to go. And, of course, a lot of them ended up there in their homeland of Israel. All right, reading on then, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Now, do you see how providential that is? You know, I've shared it on the program before, and I'll do it again. The first time Iris and I were in Israel, we came out of the hotel restaurant that evening, and a well-dressed businessman approached us, and he says, you're from America, aren't you? And we said, yes. He said, what do you think of our little country? I said, it's fabulous what God has done. God didn't have a thing to do with it. We did it. See? Well, I said, I beg to differ, but I'm not going to argue with someone in his homeland. But see, that was their idea, that they did it. No, they didn't. God did it. Against all the odds. My goodness, Great Britain did everything in their power to keep any Jews from coming to the land of Israel. But they got there. And then the Arab world consorted to drive them into the sea. But it never happened. And even to this day, they talk about it. It's not going to happen. Because God has sovereignly designated that they're going to come to their homeland. Okay, so now they're back, according to Ezekiel. And now let's just stop at one verse on our way to the book of Acts, so that you'll see what James was referring to. Book of Amos, and that's right after Hosea, Jonah, Joel, then Amos. All got it? Hosea, Joel, Amos. The last chapter, chapter 9. An interesting verse. And yet it was in such a veiled form that Israel's prophets didn't catch it. Jesus, of course, never alluded to it. But now as we can read and look back, we know this is what the prophet was talking about. Amos chapter 9. And again, we're talking about the dispersed nation of Israel in those first 9-10 verses. But now look in verse 11. In that day, when God will finally have His people back in their homeland. Amos chapter 9, verse 11. In that day, I will raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, close up the breaches thereof. I will raise up his ruins. I will build it. Now remember, we're talking about King David's day. And I will build it as in the days of old. Now you remember what I said in one of the earlier programs this afternoon? When did Israel reach the pinnacle? During David's and Solomon's. The glorious kingdom of David. What did the Queen of Sheba say? The half has never yet been told. Of what? The glory of David's kingdom. All right, so this is the analogy. It's going to be restored with the glory that it was in David, only far, far greater. All right, then verse 12, that they, the nation of Israel now, may possess the remnant of Edom and of all the heathen, the Gentile world, which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. In other words, God is going to bring Israel back to the homeland. At some point in time, He's going to return and set up this glorious kingdom promised to Israel. All right, now then I made mention of Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, and here we have the record of the Jerusalem Council. And I think according to some of the ancient writers, this was in 51 A.D. Now get your numbers. Christ was crucified in 29, and I feel that the Apostle Paul was converted in 37. He began his earthly ministry in A.D. 40, and now he is being confronted by the Judaizers from Jerusalem that his converts had to be circumcised and keep the law of Moses. That was the whole purpose of the Jerusalem Council. All right, now I'm going to take time to take through all that. But as you come to the end of that council, and the leadership of the Jerusalem church recognized Paul's apostleship, that he would be going to the Gentiles, come in at verse 12. Acts 15, verse 12. And so then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, who have been ministering up in Antioch, remember, as well as in Turkey and so forth. All right, so they gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among what people? The Gentile. No, this is unheard of. God had done all kinds of miracles in Israel, but amongst the Gentiles, unheard of. All right, and so they took this all in. As the argument is now being kind of put to rest, because they're recognizing that Paul and now Barnabas do have a ministry with the Gentiles that Israel was never permitted to do. All right? Now verse 13. And after they had held their peace, the tumult was quieting down. James, and we know from Galatians chapter 2 that James was the moderator of this Jerusalem council. And so after they held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, Peter, has declared how God at the first did visit the, what? Gentiles to take out of them. Now keep your pronouns right. Who are the them now? Gentile world. That Paul has been designated to go to the Gentiles to take out of them, the Gentiles, a people for his name. Now, Acts can't tell us what it is because it really hasn't been totally revealed. But you get to Paul's letters and what do we call it? The body of Christ. The body of Christ is that called out group of Gentile believers under Paul's gospel of grace. Totally insulated from all the promises of Israel. Let's see. My timeline is back up. Man, didn't even know he's back. You guys are good. So here we come past the rejection now. All these promises concerning this glorious kingdom over which God the Son, Jesus the Christ, would rule and reign. But they rejected it. And then they hit the prime of their rejection when they did what? Stoned Stephen. Stephen was still appealing to the nation to repent of having killed that promised Messiah. But they would not. And so they stoned Stephen. All right, who are we introduced to at the stoning of Stephen? Saul of Tarsus. All right, so now then we get back to our timeline. After Christ has ascended, Israel is rejecting. Now God is going to do exactly what Amos is referring to, that after a period of time, which would include now our church age, and then the tribulation, the king and the kingdom would still come in and bring back the glories of David and Solomon. But here's what we have to realize. God's time clock stopped. And he sent Paul out into the Gentile world to call out a people for his name, which, like I said, we call the body of Christ. All right, come back with me then a minute to Acts chapter 15 again. Now verse 15. Acts 15, verse 15. And to this, James says, even the prophets agree. But you see, they didn't have a clue what Amos was talking about. They didn't have a clue that after 1,900 years of being scattered into all the nations of the world, they would come back and reappear as a nation and yet have the promised kingdom become a reality. They didn't know that. In fact, how many times haven't I done this before, and I'm going to do it again. Keep your hand in Acts 15. Go to 1 Peter, hon. 1 Peter. Because I think this is so interesting that now, after the fact, Peter can write just exactly what I'm saying. That they couldn't put it together. Oh, it was back there, but in such veiled language, they didn't understand, and they weren't supposed to. All right, back in 1 Peter chapter 1, I usually like to start verse 9. Now remember, Peter too is addressing fellow Jews. He says that up in verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, writing to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia. Well, Gentiles weren't strangers in their own land, but Jews were. So this is who Peter's writing to. He's writing to Jews of his own day and who were fellow believers that Jesus was the Christ. All right, verse 9. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Now verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets, the Old Testament prophets, have inquired. They were just constantly questioning. What about this? How is this going to happen? What is it? And you can just about cook up as many questions as I can. And so they were inquiring. And they were searching diligently. What were they searching? The Scriptures. The Old Testament Scriptures. Trying to put it all together. And they couldn't. And they weren't supposed to. All right, so Peter goes on. These same prophets prophesied the grace that should come. Well, when would it come for the Jew? When their Messiah would return. See? But the Old Testament prophets didn't speak of it as a second coming. They just spoke of it in veiled language that he would come and suffer and die. But then on the other hand, there were prophecies that he would rule and reign. And I've covered this before in the program. Why, they questioned, how is this going to happen? Are we going to have two messiahs? Will one suffer? Are we going to have a second messiah that will rule and reign? They certainly couldn't put together that the same one would be both. All right, and that's what Peter is talking about. All right, reading on. Verse 11, searching the Scriptures. What or what manner of time the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Christ, who was in them, the writers of the Old Testament, that the Spirit of Christ within them did signify when it or he testified beforehand. Now here they are, the two aspects of the Messiah. The suffering of the Messiah and the what? The glory which should follow. Now can you see their dilemma? Here we've got to have a Messiah who suffers. But we have to have a Messiah who's going to rule and reign. How is he going to do that unless we have two? And they could not put it together that he'd be one and the same. And that's why the normal rank and file Jew today, is he looking for the Messiah the second time? No, the what? The first. They can't reconcile the fact that the Messiah that suffered is the Messiah that's going to rule and reign. And that has been a dilemma for the Jew down through the centuries. All right, I think that's sufficient there. Back to Acts in a minute. So now James and Peter and John, after the fact of the suffering, they have now seen him ascend back to glory. Now they're beginning to get the picture that this same Messiah who suffered would return and be the Messiah who would rule and reign. But, now here's my question. Did they have any idea it would be 1900 and some years? No way. And so Peter and James and John and Jude and Revelation all speak in language as though it would be in their lifetime. They had no idea it would be such a long extended period. But yet, you see, Hosea is talking in the same language that the nation would be out there for a long time until the bones were white with age. And then they'd come back. All right, back to Acts 15 for just a little bit. My goodness, this is almost gone. All right, verse 15. And so to this agree the words of the prophets. Now they can put it together. This is what Amos was talking about. Verse 16. After this, after the calling out of a people for his name. See? After that long period of dispersion back in the land, but they would still have to wait for the outcalling of that body of Christ, the Gentiles. All right? So after this, I will return. Now get the after. After what? The calling out of the Gentile body. And see, that's why I maintain it has to be a pre-tribulation rapture, because God is not going to be dealing with the Gentile body and the nation of Israel. No, He's going to be dealing with the earthly people, the nation of Israel, first in the horrors of the tribulation and then in the glory of the kingdom. But it won't happen until the church is complete and is taken out of the way. All right, now, I got a few minutes left yet. Well, let's go verse 17. Let's not skip that. Let's stay here a minute. Acts 15, go on into verse 17. That after the calling out of the body of Christ, the Gentile, he would raise up again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. That's why we read it in Amos before we came to Acts. And I, God says, will set it up. Set what up? The kingdom of David. Now verse 17. That the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith Lord, who doeth all these things. And known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Well, he certainly worked only with the nation of Israel, but like I had one writer said, well, God wants to be a racist. No, he's not a racist. What a stupid comment. Well, see, that's the mentality of the world. Just because he dealt with Jew only, I guess they were commenting on that verse in Matthew where the Lord told the 12, go not into the way of a Gentile or a house of Samaritan, but go only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He must be a racist. No, I'm going to write back. The letter is still on my desk. I'm going to write back. He was on covenant ground. He could not condescend to Gentiles until the covenant promises were fulfilled. But he's going to set those covenant promises aside for 1900 years and turn to the Gentiles without Israel. And again, is he being racist by now setting Israel aside? No. It's in his sovereign design. All right, now let's go to Romans chapter 11, and we have the same concept in different language. But it's the same thing. That after God has called out the body of Christ, he's yet going to return and deal with his covenant people. Romans chapter 11, verse 25. Romans 11, verse 25. And then there are people, famous people, highly esteemed people, who say that there's nothing to do with Israel anymore. That the people who call themselves Jews aren't Jews at all. How ridiculous can people get? But here's another verse that shows that God is not through with Israel. Romans 11, verse 25. In fact, the whole chapter 11 is dealing with God coming back and deal with Israel. Verse 25, for he says, I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery or secret or something that no one previous to Paul understood. And what is it? Lest you should be wise in your own conceit. In other words, you're puffed up with your own ignorant knowledge. And here it is. That blindness, in part, not forever, but for a period of time, that blindness for a period of time. And I suppose even Paul, after the Holy Spirit inspired him to write that, was thinking in terms of 10 or 15 years instead of 1900 and some. But nevertheless, here we are. And it still holds that blindness in part for a period of time has happened to Israel. a spiritual blindness that the Jewish people as a multitude cannot understand. And so they're spiritually blind. Oh, we get a few. I've got a fair amount of Jews in my audience. And they're interesting. I could sit here for another hour and tell you about some of them. But whatever. Here we have that the rank and file of Israel are spiritually blind to this age of grace. So blindness sovereignly was put upon the nation of Israel. And then what's the next word? Until. At some point in time, that blindness is going to end. And God is going to be able to deal once again with His covenant people. All right. Now then, when will that blindness end? When the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. All right, now you compare that with what we just read in Acts 15. When will the fullness of the Gentiles come about? When the body of Christ is complete. When the last person, I feel, has been saved and has become a member of the body of Christ, we are out of here, and God picks up where He left off with Israel. Now, I can't understand why that's so hard for people to see. I had one lady that saw it in just 15 minutes of a phone conversation, and she said, Les, it's all so logical. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's so logical. God has set Israel aside for 1900 and some years. He has fulfilled the prophecy of bringing them back, and He is filling up the body of Christ. And one of these days, it's going to be full. The trumpet will sound, and we're out of here. And God will start dealing with Israel. Oh, it's going to be horrible for 7 years, but He's still dealing primarily with Israel. And as a result of all of their chastisement and their wrath and vexation of God, here comes the kingdom. And for the Jews who have survived and are believers, and they'll go into that kingdom and they're going to enjoy all the promises of God that have been spoken for the last 4,000 years. And it's just going to come rolling in on the nation like a flood. And as the Old Testament puts it, they're going to blossom like a rose in the desert. And so don't ever give up on the nation of Israel.
Thank you for watching Through the Bible with Les Feldick. Through the Bible is a partner-supported ministry. If this program has been a help to your study of the Scriptures and you'd like to see others enjoy the teaching, your support would be greatly appreciated. Write to us at Les Feldick Ministries, 30706 West Lona Valley Road, Kinta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or call 1-800-369-7856. Remember, all programs to Through the Bible with Les Feldick.